Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live from the Osity Lab studios on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. We got an outstanding show coming up for you. First, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg & Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our newest sponsor, Osity Labs.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up via podcast on the FM Talk 106.5 website and also on the mobile app, which you can download from either the Apple or the Google Play Store, however you'd like to do that. And, of course, Tom's Tirade is up via castbox.fm. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to be joined by Mike Dow and Ray French with one of our newest sponsors, Osity Labs. They're going to get us up to speed on exactly what Osity is, what they do, and what they have to offer to our veterans. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on the gun is civilization. You don't want to miss that. But first, it's a story that really is something we've been talking about for months now, Tom, and it's what we called sort of the soft purge of our military. Of course, you know, sort of the hardline purge was this administration and its feckless officers and brass in pretty much all of the services, all going all the way up to the Secretary of Defense. Who went after our troops in uniform. First, it was that, you know, they did the whole stand down to go after any extremists in the military. Of course, you know, they didn't look at the extremists on the other side of the fence. They were basically looking at, you know, white straight men who were patriots. But they went after them. Then, of course, they kept going and are releasing those who have refused to get the jab, get the vaccine, even though the vaccine has been proven to be basically worthless. We, you know, continue to hear how you need to get more jabs and more jabs because we got this happening and that happening and a new variant, you know. And of course, they changed. They even went so far as to basically change what a vaccine is. We did the story on the naval vessel that was 100% vaccinated, and yet still had an outbreak of COVID. And they said, oh, no. Well, it's not supposed to stop the infection. It's supposed to just mitigate it. That's never been the definition of a vaccine.
Right.
So, of course, you go beyond that a little bit, Tom, and take a look at how that impacts the young men and women that are out there who are looking to go into the military. And, of course, you know what it does to them. And I actually listened to a young gentleman on a radio show today, 13 years old, said he's always wanted to go into the military, but now he's really wanting to know if that's the right way to go. And that's that soft purge, Tom, and it's showing up. It's showing up in the numbers because we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Army had only hit 40% of its recruiting goals this year. So what do? Do they try to change their message?
Right.
Do they try to stop the wokeness and the critical race theory and being more concerned about someone's pronouns? No. They lower their goals. They lower the force size, Tom. You know, effectively, and I'm sure our listeners who served understand.
Right.
We're going to have a smaller army, which means we're probably not even going to be able to fight one conflict, much less the two conflicts that had always been built in to our force readiness.
Right.
It's just absolutely shameful.
It's going to go back to, if they want to, the men in the service now, they're going to have to force them to go in like they did when I was coming up. You know, you had to register, and then the numbers were drawn, and they'll take as many as they need, you know.
I think it'd be difficult for them to do that. I don't think you've got the folks. I don't think they're willing to go that far to start the draft and start conscripting people again. I think they'll lower their numbers and do some sort of tap dance about, oh, we don't really need that big, which, of course, to be honest with you, a lot of the commies on the progressive left would rather the United States not have a military.
Right.
Or if we did, it's just basically a global, Meals on Wheels program, like it was back in the Obama administration.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of them that, you know, hey, we don't even have to say defund the military. We can kill the military from within.
Right. Just like they're doing to our country.
Well, and you know, the problem was the military was probably one of the last real holdouts.
Yes, it was.
You know, they infiltrated our educational institutions. They'd infiltrated Hollywood. They infiltrated, down into K-12 schools. They, of course, attacked the church and denigrated it. But the military somehow was always a holdout. The military even survived 8 years under Obama. Because I think even at that point, you still had generals who were war fighters more than they were bureaucrats, more than they were career officers who were just there for the next promotion.
Yep.
But that's entirely cast aside now when, you've got Millie up there who probably really doesn't know what pronouns are, but is more concerned, about making sure that a critical race theory gets shoved down our throats and that, it's one of those diversity is our greatest strength. And I guarantee you, Tom, Russia and China aren't worried a damn bit about diversity or what pronoun you want to be called.
Right.
In fact, they'll probably make up a few pronouns
to call you. They will.
Once you're in there.
Right.
You know, just like the old drill instructors used to do. But heck no. Drill instructors probably can't do that now because they'll get in trouble.
Well, anything could happen. They were just talking on TV a while ago about our president's got asthma and cancer, so he hadn't decided which one it is yet. But it had to be from oil, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, the problem is he doesn't know the difference between asthma and cancer at this point. Because he had to put the windshield wipers on to make sure he could get the oil slick off the windows.
I know.
And, the damnable thing about it is, Tom, This guy's been in office for most of my life.
Oh, yes.
40-something years.
Oh, yes.
And he still hasn't solved a damn problem.
Right. So much.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him to start solving any at this point.
Nope. Too late.
Yeah. Well, anyway, hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to be joined by Mike Dowell and Ray French from Ocity Labs. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bull can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live from the Ocity Labs studios on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Hey, you can also catch us on the FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone. And hey, check us out on Facebook. And it's a privilege to be joined on SBN by Mike Dowell and Ray French from our newest sponsor, Ocity Labs. Mike and Ray, welcome to SBN, and thank you for what you do. You and your team at Ocity Labs are doing for our veterans.
Well, good. We're proud to be here tonight. You know, I'm known as Mobile's 16-year mayor. That's my biggest claim to fame, people think. But in my mind, being a three-tour combat veteran in Vietnam, a machine gunner and a paratrooper and jumping out of planes and all that stuff, it prepared me to be able to run the city and handle all that complexity. But you know, so I've got a big place in my heart for all things veteran. And we've got a company out in Foley that's a very unusual contribution to the health and wellness. And we have a vertically integrated hemp and cannabis operation. And we're in the process of making products that have a lot of qualities that that help the veteran. And I've got with me here tonight Ray French, who runs our plant. Ray runs our company. And Ray's going to give you a little bit of his knowledge and a little bit more specifically about what we're doing in this complex cannabis world with about 400 chemical compounds in that product, the two larger compounds being CBD and THC. But they're responsible for raising cannabis profile in the health and wellness community. So, Ray, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you run with it, buddy.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike. You know, we're here to help people find products and things that can bring them some type of relief. We want to be upfront that we're not medical doctors. We're not here. We can't make actual health claims. And these products, you know, they're still under evaluation through the FDA process. So they haven't gotten some of the designations that we're going to be seeing coming down the pipeline that we can have clinical research and we can have actual health claims being made. Our products, you know, that we manufacture them from seed to cell. So we have our own farming operation where we grow our plants under license from the state of Alabama out at our farm in Bruton. Quite an operation out there. And then we have a processing facility in Foley in our building there. We're able to turn these plants into different products with topicals and tinctures and different ways to take these products that help people have access to these cannabinoids. And you'll hear us talk a lot about the cannabinoids that we're able to put in our products. One of them, you know, has gotten a lot of media attention and press, and you'll see, you know, a lot of products. We even now, you know, there's you're seeing, you know, pharmacies and the Publix grocery store now has a line of CBD tropicals right next to their pharmacy office. And so as these become more mainstream, we're finding, you know, that these products are able to give people different types of relief, we also combine like our skin creams and those type of products. We also use aloe and different essential oils that combine with the cannabinoids to help with skin problems. They also, it's kind of interesting, we found out that, you know, if you've got a mosquito bite and you want to help your mosquito bite, it seems to help with that as well. So we have two topicals that have been very popular. One is a warming gel. The other one is a cooling gel. And so it gives muscle relief as well as helping with different skin problems and clean up different issues that people are having, whether it's gaining relief from different aches and things like that, as well as is helping just overall skin health. So those are our topicals. Fahrenheit is the name of that line. It's a warming gel and a cooling gel. And then we have our tinctures. Our tinctures are called Calm, Energy, and Sleep. And the sleep tincture, we've taken and separated out CBN. CBN is a natural part of the cannabinoids that we get in the plants. And then through temperature and heat, the CBD is converted to CBN. And we're able to separate that out. And we add it to our distillate and our sleep tincture. And people that have used CBN and used these tinctures has reported back that it's really helped them sleep. And being able to sleep and being able to get relief from some of these symptoms, you know, we're getting reports back. We just had one of the doctors that came to the facility. She's a massage therapist doctor, and she's getting really positive results back, not only our sleep tincture, but our calm tincture. The calm tincture works really well hand-in-hand with our warming gels and cooling gels, and it has CBG in it. The CBG is another one of these cannabinoids that are present in the plant that through breeding have been able to increase the level that you get in the flower. And CBG is the mother of all cannabinoids, and it's the one that's most easily processed in your body. And it activates the CBN receptor that we have in our system. And just like, you know, opioid receptors, we have these receptors in our body that react with these cannabinoids. And it can really give relief and help people out. So the CBG is our added cannabinoids to our distillate and our calm product. And then we have our energy. And the energy product, we combine our distillate along with CBDV, which is a varin, one of the classes of cannabinoids, CBDV. And that gives you a boost of energy. And it's more and more documentation that you see out there and more anecdotal evidence that that CBDV is reported to act as an appetite suppressant as well as added boost of energy. So we have that available in our line of tinctures as well as a line of gummies. And the gummies are also named the same way. They've got great flavors, a tangerine. We have one that's a wild berry flavor. And these gummies are also named Sleep, Calm, and Energy. And they have the extra added cannabinoids, just like our tinctures do, for those effects. We're really fortunate to have on staff Chris Whaley. He's one of the award-winning scientists and chemists in the CBD cannabis space. And he's known for his award-winning formulations. His work and the accolades have been about accuracy of exactly what we have on our label and what we say we have in the products or in our COAs that prove that will be consistent throughout with all of these products. We're very fortunate to be in a former food grade facility, so we're able to have the techniques and protocols and processes in place that gain the accuracy and deep understanding of what we have in these products. We actually, with Chris, have set up our own internal testing lab. So as we go through each phase of the process from seed to sale, we're able to continually test to make sure that we have the purity that we want and our flavors are consistent. And then, of course, once we finish the product, we go get a third party to come and validate those results. But being able to test internally all the way through gives us a real advantage in our formulation.
Ray, it's a pleasure to have you aboard here. You are one extremely knowledgeable gentleman, and I've had the pleasure of meeting you in your facility, and you handle yourself there as well as you do on the radio. And very enlightening to know, because everybody knows about CBD, as you say, we see it everywhere. The thing that's bothering me about it, and a lot of the other people that I've talked to, is the fact we don't know what kind of control, or if any control, is used in the process of all of these different CBDs that we have. And it's I'm extremely delighted to see that you guys have your own lab and actually are doing lab work for some of these other people. But we're going to go to a hard break here in just a matter of minutes or so. And, you know, what, about a half a second? Okay. And as we do, then we'll get back to you guys if y'all hang on board there. I guess we'll have to take up a collection from Mike there since he's in Paris, France on his phone. So maybe we can float alone or something and see if we can get him back on board. And you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, more with Mike and Ray from Acidity Labs when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Just what they say.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live from the Acidity Lab studios on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg in Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and our newest sponsor, Acidity Labs.
And again, it's a privilege to be joined on SBN by Mr. Mike Dow and Ray French from our newest sponsor, Acidity Labs. Again, gentlemen, thank you for being here with us to share the Acidity Labs story. And we certainly want to thank the Mayor Emeritus of Mobile, Mr. Mike Dow, for joining us from across the pond.
Yeah, this is a passion to me, guys. You know, we lost about 7,000 soldiers in our war since 9/11, and about 33,000 have committed suicide. And the governor and our commissioner of Veterans Affairs, we're all looking at trying to reduce that suicide rate. And for me, it's doing the research in an area that's safe and not harmful and healthy, and trying to come up with health and wellness products that can make a true difference. And we know anecdotally by the people that we serve, they come back and tell us what it does. So we're going to start having some of these people on our show to let you know what effect, what they think about the product. And we're blessed to have Ray. Ray's probably the top geneticist in the country in hemp and cannabis. And Chris Whaley is the top scientist. His tincture just won number one in Men's Health magazine. And so what we can promise is that what we put on our label is what is going to be in that bottle. It's going to be consistent, and it's going to have all the good known qualities in it so you can depend on it. That's one of the things we want the message to get across here as we go forward. So, Ray, I'm going to turn it back over to you and let them get to know you a little better and what you and Chris do that is top of the industry and so exciting, and it's right here in Foley, Alabama.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mike. So part of my background is, you know, having my great-uncle was dean of agriculture at Auburn University, and he started the old rotation experiment in the 1800s that demonstrates that you can use cover crops in regenerative agriculture as part of good farming practices and get away from some of the dependence that we've come to become used to with you know, the powdered fertilizers and things that you know, with good taking care of the land and having healthy soil, we're able to produce plants that have are clean and produce the products the way we want to bring them to market. So we combine that with our breeding and genetics. I actually spent my entire career in horticulture growing large-scale ornamental horticulture plants and selling these products nationwide. And we're happy to be able to team up with myself on the genetics and farming side, and then Chris's experience on the analytical chemistry side, as well as product formulation, to create these things. Tom, you said you had a couple of questions you wanted to ask.
Yes, I do. You know, a lot of people don't understand the difference between the CBD and just plain marijuana.
Well, the difference, according to the designation from the Farm Bill in 2020 that was signed into law, is that hemp, while it's still cannabis sativa, and it looks like it and it smells like it, it's not high THC, what has been called marijuana and what people are used to that has these intoxicating effects. The way that it's written, the classification is if it's hemp or industrial hemp, then it contains 0.3% or less THC.
How do you think this is going to be useful for helping our veterans?
Well, it's, you know, the entourage effect of these compounds working together that come out of the plant, you're going to see more and more research, and not just the anecdotal stuff we're seeing now, but true clinical research papers are starting to be published that show that CBG helps with inflammation.
Okay.
You know, while we're not able to make actual health claims and we can't, you know, go out and make a medical recommendation, but what we can do is share the anecdotal evidence and the feedback that CBN is really helping people sleep and giving people relief. The CBG with this anti-inflammatory capability, along with our distillate, it's got a calming effect.
Right.
You know, it affects everybody a little bit differently, and some people have a higher tolerance for it than others. But as you try them in the amounts that we're recommending, the feedback has been really positive on our energy tincture and on our calm, and with the CBD gummies helping people sleep along with these products. Getting that relief, getting that wellness, and just changing things up a little bit for trying to get this relief versus some of the pharmaceutical companies' products. It's, you know, feedback has been, you know, it's not as dangerous and harmful as some of these really strong medicines are, or working alongside of just an overall wellness program,
right,
where
right.
you're taking
right.
care of yourself, and you're trying to do something that moves you forward, that you're still able to have that clarity about you, and you're not as intoxicated.
Well, you know, when we start looking at the opioids and all, there, you know, number one, they're addictive. Number two, you can get an overdose from it. With CBD, it's not addictive, and you can't get an overdose of it. So I think we're 50% to the good to start with there. And I know that the products that I've been able to use on the calming phase and the energy phase, has just been great. I'm really pleased with the product, and I can tell the difference. So, you know, I got no reason to lie about it, brother. Mike, we only have about a minute and a half left. If you'd like to close out.
We're not going to be able to help our veterans in the high suicide rates and the situations they're in by, quite frankly, giving them opioids.
Right.
And coming off an opioid is even a suicidal modality. So we know that the manufacturers are being sued. We know that a million people a year are overdosed with death. And we know all this stuff. So we're beginning to learn on the hemp and cannabis side, and we're learning a lot of other stuff, a lot of holistic and safe and healthy ways that you can accommodate health and wellness. So we appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation.
Well, we appreciate having you gentlemen on board, and we certainly are proud to be able to work with you and help get out anything that will be a benefit to our veterans, because that's what we're all about. But, Mike, where can they go for additional information? You got a website or something there that they can reach?
www.ocity.com.
Awesome, gentlemen. Ray, did an awesome job. Glad to have you on board. We're looking forward to having you back. Mike, have a pleasant trip, brother.
And my wife made me do it.
There you go.
Thank you.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The discussion about gun control coming in the wake of the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, although entirely misplaced, but nonetheless thrust into the national psyche by the pulpit of the bully-in-chief, has driven me to examine a bit more about how the Second Amendment has affected our nation from its very founding. Along the way, I have discovered that some very astute observations that I would like to share with you here. The first is a commentary by Major L. Caudill, USMC retired, entitled, "The Gun is Civilization." I think it speaks volumes about who we are and where we have come from and who we will continue to be if we exist at all as a society. Human beings only have two ways to deal with one another, reason and force. If you want me to do something for you, you have a choice of either convincing me by argument or force me to do your bidding under threat of force. Every human interaction falls into one of these two categories without exception. Reason or force, that's it. In a truly moral and civilized society, people could exclusively interact through persuasion. Force has no place as a valid method of social interaction, and the only thing that removes force from the menu is the personal firearm. As paradoxical as it may sound to some, when I carry a gun, you cannot deal with me by force. You have to use reason and try to persuade me because I have a way to negate your threat or employment of your force. The gun is the only personal weapon that puts a 100-pound woman on equal footing with a 220-pound mugger, a 75-year-old retiree on equal footing with a 19-year-old gangbanger, and a single guy on equal footing with a carload of drunken guys with baseball bats. Isn't that the damn truth? The gun removes the disparity in physical strength, size, or numbers between a potential attacker and a defender. There are plenty of people who consider the gun as a source of bad force equations. They are the people who think that we'd be more civilized if all guns were removed by society, because a firearm makes it easy for an armed mugger to do his job. That, of course, is only true if the mugger's potential victims are mostly disarmed either by choice or by legislative fiat. It has no validity when most of the mugger's potential marks are armed. People who argue for the banning of arms ask for automatic rule by the young, the strong, and the many. And that's the exact opposite of a civilized society. A mugger, even an armed one, can only make a successful living in a society where the state has granted him a forced monopoly. Then there's the argument that the gun makes confrontation lethal and otherwise would only result in injury. This argument is fallacious in several ways. Without guns involved, confrontations are won by the physically superior party, inflicting overwhelming injury on the loser. People who think that fists, bats, or sticks, or stones don't constitute legal force watch too much TV, where people take beatings and come out of it with a bloodied lip at the worst. The fact that the gun makes lethal force easier works solely in favor of the weaker defender, not the stronger attacker. If both are armed, the field is level. The gun is the only weapon that's as lethal in the hands of an octogenarian as it is in the hands of a weightlifter. It simply wouldn't work as well as a force equalizer if it wasn't both lethal and easily employable. When I carry a gun, I don't do so because I'm looking for a fight, but because I'm looking to be left alone. The gun at my side means that I cannot be forced, only persuaded. I don't carry it because I'm afraid, but because it enables me to be unafraid. It doesn't limit the action of those who would interact with me through reason. only the actions of those who would do so by force. It removes force from the equation. And that's why carrying a gun is a civilized act. Not a bad read and a perfect common sense approach to the debate. Taken to its logical conclusion, in fact, the greatest civilization is one where all citizens are equally armed and can only be persuaded, never forced. This is why our founding fathers understood all too well, having lived under the heavy hand of the British. But because they were armed, they were able to overcome and fight off their oppressors. Not because they had better diplomats or lawyers or a well-armed police force. No, they won because they had the weapons with which to overthrow England, which until that time had been known as the most formidable fighting force in the world. Yes, along the way, there was much bloodshed on both sides. And as it was said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with blood of patriots and tyrants. To say that we as a nation have forgotten this might be a bit of a stretch. Remember, the Japanese in World War II said that they would never invade the U.S. mainland because behind every blade of grass would be a patriot with a gun. I think that today, probably more so than at any time in our history, we should embrace the purpose of the Second Amendment and embrace an armed citizenry, at least an armed law-abiding citizenry. For not only is the gun an equalizer between force and reason, it does not discriminate due to political correctness. A dead terrorist is a dead terrorist, and the civilized gun speaks louder than the barbarian's knife any damn day. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be prepared to go all the way, because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead. Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Pull up, sir!
Pull up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Nothing like a little Sean Connery. But hey, well, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. The voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. A couple of Marines with just a little bit to say in the First Amendment right to say it in the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, I plugged that tirade in. I mean, it's as true now as it was, maybe even
more
true and relevant than when we first put that together. And I think it is because, you know, the reality is, our founding fathers put the Second Amendment in there because they realized exactly how important that had been in their winning the Revolutionary War and throwing off the oppressive king from England. And if we didn't have that, well, they also understood the nature of the human being. And there is that, you know, that the saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Don't we know it? We
and
see it every day.
We're seeing that every day now. And, you know, the politicians in D.C. and in some of these, especially these major Democrat run cities, they want a disarmed populace. Because, you know, if you have a disarmed populace, there's not anything that they can do against the government. And that's the real reason why the Second Amendment is there.
Right.
It was not so we could go out and shoot turkeys and target practice.
Right. And it didn't.
It was so that you could defend yourself.
And, Cal, you know, another thing that it didn't do was it didn't say, well, you can only shoot muskets and you can only shoot 12-gauge shotguns. It just is the Second Amendment rights to bear arms.
And, you know,
arms.
Correct. Correct. Because, you know, our founding fathers were very prescient in much of what they wrote, understanding the nature of government and that contract with the people and the fact that, you know, at some point our government, even though it was established with the best intentions, could be operated against the average person. And so you take that and shift that over. You know, and Tom, we just had here in the last week, and the legacy media, the mainstream media, really kind of swept it right under the rug. You know, there was the active shooter at that mall, and I believe it was Minnesota, who came into the food court with a rifle and shot and killed three people before the shooter himself was killed by a 22-year-old who was carrying.
Right.
Now, the state, that state had recently approved concealed carry, private carry. Now, guess what the mall was? The mall was supposed to be a gun-free zone.
Oh,
right?
Really? Yeah, okay. We need to talk to Chicago about that.
Well, yeah, but you know, the mall, just like many of the churches and these other places where these shootings occur, they were all gun-free zones.
Right, right.
But you know who doesn't care about the gun-free zone?
Right.
The criminal.
If he didn't have he'd have something else.
Well, but he can come in with a gun because he thinks, hey, I'm going to be able to get in here and shoot my way around.
Right, right.
And nobody's going to take care of me except that 22-year-old stepped in and saved lives.
Right.
And yes, he was a good Samaritan.
And then a couple of these media shows were chastising the hell out of him the last couple of days. And like that was illegal. He should be locked up, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, come on. Are they showing their ignorance or what?
No, what they're doing is they're just showing their ideological stripes. But hey, God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!